As you have your Bibles this morning, I invite you to turn with me to the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew the 6th chapter, as we consider our stewardship theme, because when we talk about stewardship and giving and responding to God's bounty toward us, for some of us more compliant souls, it's enough to hear God's command, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, and that settles the matter. We give because God said so. But others of us may need a bit more explanation and perhaps inspiration. And so let us consider how we are to give because it is in our best interest to do so. The Word of God from the Gospel of Matthew, the 6th chapter, verse 19, where Jesus says to his disciples, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Just for a moment this morning, let's think about all of those things that we do each and every day that we really aren't super excited about doing, but we do them anyway because we know in our heart of hearts it's in our best interest to do so. This morning, even though it's a Sunday morning, I dare say that there were some of you who got up bright and early and went out to walk or jog or went to get on the treadmill down in the basement or upstairs. You engaged in 20 or 30 minutes of vibrant exercise because you know if you're wanting to experience any measure of vitality in life, then you've just got to get up and get going. It's in your best interest to do that. There are others of us who this morning got up, went to the medicine cabinet, and opened the medicine cabinet, and brought out all of the bottles with the medications that we have to take each and every day. And you took those medications even though you may not have been in the mood to do so, because you know that if you don't take those medications, just like the doctor prescribed, it will come back to haunt you. And all of us came to church this morning. Well, that's not the thing that we don't get excited about doing on a Sunday. But to get to church, we got in the car and we strapped ourselves into what has to be the most uncomfortable contraption ever invented, the seatbelt. And some of you even had small children that you brought to church today and you strapped them in a car seat that you have to have an engineering degree to figure out. But you never know. You never know when somebody might run a stop sign. You never know. The point is, you get the picture, there are countless things that we are about on a regular basis that we really don't get excited about doing. We don't care to do them. We'd rather not do them, but we do them. We do them religiously, because we know in our heart of hearts it's in our best interest to do them. So where does giving fall on your list of things that you do because it's in your best interest to do so. We don't think about giving in that way often, do we? No, we don't. In large part because we are immersed in a culture that tells us that if you really want to arrive at any secure place in your life, you don't find that place by giving stuff away. You find that place by accumulating as much as you can. We live in a culture that every single day bombards us with the message that it is, contrary to the words of Jesus, it is more blessed to receive than to give. And we're concerned that if we don't store up enough stuff, the day may come when we need something and we don't have it, and so we'd better hold tight everything that we've been able to amass, because you never know when you might need it. And what does Jesus say? That is not the truth. That is not the truth. It is much more blessed to give than to receive. This morning we have before us a passage of Scripture from Jesus' most famous teaching, the Sermon on the Mount. Students of the New Testament tell us that the entire sermon is an expansion and elaboration on a small part of the sermon, something that we observe every single Sunday in worship, the Lord's Prayer. The entire Sermon on the Mount can be seen as Jesus expounding, elaborating for his disciples the very meaning of that special prayer, so that the passage that I've read for you today on not just storing up for yourselves treasures in heaven. That's really not the best translation. You look at the Greek, the original language of the New Testament, and really what Jesus was saying to his disciples is this: treasure up for yourselves treasures in heaven. It's just that we've got locked into storage language because, again, we live in a culture where storage facilities are everywhere. I saw something this week that we have enough storage space in our country to provide every single American 6.9 square feet of space to store their stuff. When you think about it, that's just a fraction more than what is necessary to bury you. And some of us are about to be buried under the stuff that we've stored up. And Jesus says, no, that's not the way to experience the abundant life that God has created you to know. Don't treasure up for yourselves treasures on earth. I mean, the stuff rots and destroys and it can be stolen. Instead, treasure up for yourselves treasures in heaven, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. This teaching is an expansion and elaboration on that part of the Lord's Prayer we pray each Sunday. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. You know how we pray it, on earth as it is in heaven. Store up for yourselves, Jesus says, treasures in heaven. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. We hear the word heaven, and as evangelical Christians, our assumption is that heaven is a place where we're going after we die and after we leave this earth. Heaven is something that is reserved for God's people in a distant future, in the life beyond this life. We think of heaven as streets of gold and gates of pearls and angel bands that are singing these wonderful symphonies on these magnificent harps. And certainly those images are very much a part of God's Word, particularly in the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation, where God's people need to hear for the present hour a word of assurance that God's rule is eternal and beyond evil or corruption, either by natural forces or, as much as we hate to think about it, it is beyond evil and corruption even by human forces. So that Jesus is speaking with us about priorities and how even here and now on this earth we can begin to experience by the manner in which we order our lives. If we order our lives around the stuff of this world, that will not provide us the security that we need in existence that is beyond evil or corruption. It can rot, it can be destroyed, it can be stolen, taken away. But if we treasure up for ourselves that which is of God, if we comport ourselves in such a way that our entire life is focused not on our agenda, but on the things of God, then God's kingdom comes and His will is done on earth as it always is in heaven. It happens in our lives and it happens through our lives, not by what we accumulate, but instead by what we are willing to give away to the glory of God. Think about your treasure. And that part of Jesus' teaching where Jesus said, wherever your treasure is, there your heart is also. What is it that you treasure most in life? And how is it that on so many occasions your life is just pulled and drawn by the things that you value most? So you want a new car? And you save up and you buy the new car. And the car lasts you for a period of time, but as soon as you drive it off the parking lot, it loses value. Any car dealer worth his or her salt will tell you that. You take pride in your home and you want to live in as nice a home as you possibly can, and so you buy a big house, and you say to yourself, okay, I've got it made. I finally arrived. But that's something you got to maintain and you got to protect and you have to secure, and you see where it's going. But Jesus is saying that when you store up, when you treasure up for yourselves the things that are of God, when you make space in your life for God to do something in you and through you, then you are in a position where you experience a peace and a joy that nothing, that no one can ever take away. Have you come to a place in life where you have experienced that sort of peace and that sort of joy, not because of what you take in for yourself, but because of what you make available to God for God to use to bring to pass His kingdom purposes? There have been some people in life who've known the joy and the peace that come not through receiving, but through giving. I'm reminded of the story of the great conquering king Alexander the Great, who took over for his father Philip at the tender age of 20 and moved from the kingdom of Macedon to conquer the world, which he did by the age of 30. As the story goes, one day a friend came to Alexander and asked the great king if he could give him 10 talents. Can you, O king, spare 10 talents? I am in great need. And as the story goes, Alexander, instead of giving him 10 talents, gave his friend 50 talents. The friend was overwhelmed. He marveled at Alexander's generosity, and he protested. He protested to the king, No. 10 talents are sufficient for me. To which the king is said to have replied, 10 talents may be sufficient for you to receive, but 10 talents are not sufficient for me to give. A man whose world had expanded, and as a result, his heart expanded with it. 10 talents sufficient for you to receive, 10 talents not sufficient for me to give. We gather here this morning as people whose lives have been transformed by the risen Jesus, who have become new creations in Christ Jesus. Our worlds have enlarged. The question is, have our hearts enlarged as much so that our hearts are given to Jesus, and everything that we have, everything that we own, everything that we are set in motion to realize the desires of our hearts, which is not that our will be done, the desire of our hearts is that God's will might be done. When we get to that place, you know who we are emulating, don't you? You know who we are following. You know who we are modeling when we get to the place where we say it's not what my heart desires, it's what God's heart desires. We're following Jesus, the one who was bruised with our iniquities, wounded with our transgressions. The Lord laid all of our sins upon Jesus in Gethsemane's garden as he was wrestling with remaining in the center of God's will. Even as the cross was looming, he prayed in Gethsemane's garden, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. And he prayed and he prayed and he prayed until the sweat drops were like blood falling from his brow. He prayed until he came to a place where his actions might follow his heart. Not my will, Jesus prayed, thy will be done. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. As we begin this stewardship emphasis, as we celebrate our Lord's sacrifice, as we think about giving, let us resolve in our hearts to show Jesus our desire to follow his example. Let us treasure up for ourselves treasures in heaven, even if it's something that doesn't come to us all that naturally. May it come to us supernaturally as an act of grace so that we do it gladly and we do it cheerfully because in our heart of hearts we know as Jesus knew that when we treasure up for ourselves treasures in heaven, it is simply but so substantively in our best interest. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, we are grateful for your love for us that made available your Son, our Savior, who became for us on Calvary the means to our salvation. His death is an example of what it means to be in the center of your will and to know there is no better place to be than in a place where we give of ourselves to further your kingdom purposes and to know in the process the joy of your salvation. So as we receive these elements that symbolize for us gifts of grace, may we experience the nearness of your presence in such a way that compels us to trust and obey and give for Christ's sake and for our own. Amen.